Today we're reading from Romans chapter 3, verse 27 to chapter 4, verse 21, which can be found on page 1131 of the Church Bibles. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? No, not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised, or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised, or before? It was not after, but before. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is father of all who believe but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, help us now as we look at these verses in Romans. Please help us to listen to you, help us to understand what you say, and help us to have hearts that are changed by your powerful word. Help us to submit to you in the obedience that comes from faith. Amen. Our passage today begins with these words. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. The book of Romans is a letter written to a church comprising of Jewish believers and Gentile believers, non-Jewish believers. And evidently, the Jewish believers in this church, they thought they had something to boast about. We'll see that in our passage today, as Paul addresses boasting in works, keeping the law, and in circumcision. And note that Paul's target here is not just general boasting. It's specifically boasting about being Christians. He's not talking about boasting about who's got a bigger house or who's got the faster car. He's talking about boasting about who is better before God. Who is more worthy as a Christian? Who deserves the blessings God gives more? I don't know that any of us are Jews here this morning. And so boasting in law-keeping and in circumcision probably isn't something that we struggle with. In fact, we don't even live in a culture that likes boasting. It's ugly. We would never want to be seen to do it. We don't like it. It's not acceptable. So do these verses have anything to say to us? Are they at all relevant? I'd like to suggest that yes, they are relevant. Yes, they have something to say. Because we all struggle with different things in the Christian life. But I suspect that most of us, myself included, we do sometimes boast. Or at least something in us would quite like to boast. I'd like to suggest that in subtle ways, we sometimes think that we're better than one another before God. That we are more worthy Christians. That we deserve God's blessings more than others. I think we can classify boasting into two categories. Boasting about what we do and boasting about who we are. As careful as we may be seen, want to be seen not to boast, do the ways in which we think we're slightly better than other people slip out sometimes in what we say? Do we think we're better Christians than others because of our service before God? When someone asks how our week was, do we jump at the opportunity to mention that we were serving at the Wild Goose Cafe? That we spent Saturday preparing for junior church? That we had loads of people over on Sunday? We were very hospitable. When the rota comes out to cook a meal, do we have in mind that other people are going to be looking at this list as we decide what we're going to cook? Do we think that we're better Christians than others, not only because of our service, but because of our sacrifice? Can we kind of try and out-sacrifice one another? Can we add unnecessary detail to a comment because we want everyone to know that we live in a small, not very nice house, but it's very close to church? Do we choose the moment that we've arrived at church early and are unpacking the trailer to also mention that we were up at 5 a.m. with the kids? Do we think that we are more worthy Christians because of how much money we give to church? Do we ever boast in our service? Do we ever boast in our sacrifice? I wonder if sometimes we can boast about the things that we do. Leaving aside boasting about the things that we do for a minute, though, can we also sometimes boast in who we are, who we think we are? What I mean is that we think we're in some kind of special group or category, that there's a special category of people, and that this special category, thinking we're special, or we think we're more deserving than those who aren't in this category. I wonder if the boasting that we do in thinking about who we are doesn't come out in what we say, but perhaps comes out in what we don't say. You call it boasting by omission. When we've not read our Bibles for a whole month, and someone asks us how we're doing at reading our Bibles, do we just say, yeah, it's hard? When we're asked how we're doing at fighting that sin that we really struggle with, do we downplay our failures because we don't want other people to think less of us? And why do we do these things? Because we want to project our image as strong, sorted, together Christians. We think our position in the church family somehow is a little bit relative. We compare ourselves to other Christians. We want to be seen in the sorted group or somewhere near the top of some imagined hierarchy that we have. We want to be seen near the top because in really subtle ways, we kind of think we're greater than others before God. Do we ever boast in who we are? Maybe none of this describes us. Maybe we don't feel like anything we do is worth boasting about, like anything about who we are is worth boasting about. But are we still doing the comparison? Are we still comparing our service, our sacrifice, our social standing with others in the church? We just don't think we compare very well. We've still got the mental hierarchy of people within the church family. It's just we think we're at the bottom. Maybe we even think it's unfair that we're at the bottom. If we'd had the opportunities they'd had, if we had the money they had, if we had the time they had, we'd be able to do what they do. We'd be able to sacrifice what they can. They're not better than us. Do we sometimes effectively want to boast? And if you're here today and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, you're really, really welcome. It's lovely to have you with us, but I suspect that anything I've said so far wouldn't apply to you. But maybe you've been around church for a little while. Maybe we've experienced the generosity, the welcome of people in the church family. And maybe we can start to think there's some kind of bar that we have to clear before we could be Christians. We have to be sorted and together like all these other people seem to be. If these people knew what I was really like, how I really feel, they'd understand there's no way I could be a Christian. thinking we are not good enough to be Christians, thinking we are less worthy than others in the church family, that we deserve less. Boasting about who we are by omitting key details about our lives because we think that there's some special group in the church family, we want to be seen in that group. Adding a little bit of detail that lets people know how hard we serve, how much we sacrifice. All of this speaking, all of this thinking falls into the category of thinking that we have more or less to offer God than those around us. We might live in a culture that hides boasting pretty well. But a brief look at my own life, and I reckon sometimes we can think the same way as the Jew who boasted in the church in Rome. Boasting, though, it's not really that bad, is it? It doesn't really hurt anyone. What's the harm? It's a bit ugly. In our passage today, Paul's going to show us that boasting because we think we are better than other Christians runs counter to the very basis on which we are Christians. To boast shows that we have either misunderstood or forgotten what is central to our very identity and existence, how it is that we can know God. In our passage today, Paul's going to explain that boasting is excluded because justification is by faith for all. Boasting is excluded because justification is by faith for all. Let me show you that. Have a look with me at verse 27 of chapter 3. Where then is boasting? It is excluded on what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Justification is by faith, not by observing the Old Testament law. That is, justification is by faith, not by what we do. Therefore, boasting in what we do is excluded. Paul carries on in verse 29. Is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of the Gentiles too, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. God justifies both the Jew in the church and the Gentile by faith. This is the only way because there's only one God. God doesn't justify some people one way and some people another way. All are justified by faith. Therefore, boasting about anything to do with who we are is excluded. It's a pretty simple argument, right? If you don't do anything for your justification to be right with God, then you have nothing to boast about. If you aren't justified, if you aren't made right with God by being special in any way, you've got nothing to boast about. Boasting is excluded because justification is by faith for all. That's a pretty massive claim, though. Justification is by faith for all. That's a massive claim. It's particularly surprising if you're a Jew who has spent the whole of your life trying to keep the Old Testament law, trying to be good enough, having been circumcised and thinking that you were one of God's rightful special people. It seems to run counter to the whole of the Old Testament law, the law that God gave. Paul knows this. He anticipates it. In verse 31, he says, "Do we then nullify the law by this faith?" No, not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. Justification by faith is how the Old Testament law works. Justification by faith is how God has always operated. Paul's going to need to do some convincing. And that's what he does in chapter 4, verses 1 to 12. I hope that this morning we too will be convinced that justification is by faith for all, and therefore see that boasting is completely excluded. Paul makes 2 points to back up his claim. Firstly, he says justification is by faith. So we're in chapter 4, we're in verses 1 to 8 here. And Paul looks at the life of Abraham and the teaching of David to back up the claim that he's just made, that justification, how we're right with God, is by faith. Now, why use David? Why use Abraham to make your point? Well, Abraham, he's the founding father of the Jewish nation. And David, he is the greatest king that Israel, the Jewish nation, had ever known. So citing these guys when you're talking about how it is that we can be right with God, that's like citing Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson when you're having an argument with an American about what the Constitution means. There's no arguing with these guys. So what did Abraham discover about justification? About how it is we're made righteous with God? That's the question Paul asks. You can see that in 4 verse 1. And the answer's clear. Because in verse 3, Paul quotes from Genesis 15. Now, Genesis 15 is the account of how it is that Abraham himself, the father of the Jewish nation, how is this guy made righteous before God? How it is that he's justified? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He didn't do anything. He didn't do any work. He just believed the promise that God had made him. He had faith in what God had promised. And this faith was credited to him as righteousness. We're familiar with the language of credited, aren't we? If you want to stick some money in my account, then the bank credits me with the money. And there's two ways of being credited with something. You can work for it, in which case you receive what you're due, you receive wages. You get what you deserve. Or, if you don't work, someone can give you a gift instead, and you're credited with something you don't deserve. That's the observation Paul makes in verse 4. He concludes in verse 5 that the second way, the gift, that's how Abraham was justified. He says, to the man who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteous. Even Abraham, the founding father of the Jewish nation, was justified by faith, not by works. And this means he has nothing to boast about. That's what Paul says in verse 2. If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about. But not before God. He doesn't. He didn't do any work. I'm currently in the fortunate position where I'm actually I'm training full-time ministry. And the only way that I'm able to do that is because a lot of people have been really generous to me and Millie and our family and have given us money. So there's a chunk of money sitting in an account with my name on it at the moment. I would never dream of boasting in that money. That would be wrong for all sorts of reasons, but not least of which is, I didn't earn it. It was given to me. It was a gift. I've got nothing to boast in. Even Abraham, the founding father of the Jewish nation, had nothing to boast about. He was justified by faith, not by works. What about David? What about the greatest king that Israel had ever seen? Paul makes the same point again. Look with me at chapter 4, verse 6. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. And then Paul goes on and he quotes this psalm, Psalm 32. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Far from being justified by works, David, the greatest king, he's just glad that his works won't be counted to him. Literally, it reads, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never credit to him. King David is justified by faith, not by works. And so he has nothing to boast about either. In fact, David's experience says that boasting in works would be like boasting in a scorecard of E's and F's, or boasting in the annual appraisal that says your performance was well below average. Justification, how we're made right with God, is by faith, not by works. The first thing this means for us is that we cannot work towards being right with God. If we're not yet Christians here this morning, do we see that we will not be justified by anything we do, only by faith? We might think that if we do the right stuff, we'll be good enough for God. We might think that we could never be good enough for God because we know the stuff we've done. But God does not credit us with righteousness based on what we've done. That's why David is so thankful as he writes his psalm. He knows that if what he deserved was credited to him, not only would he not receive righteousness, but he'd be in terrible trouble. Rather than ending up in credit, he'd end up in massive debt. We're the same. There is no one righteous, not even one. That's what Paul said in chapter 3, verse 10. If you try and work for your righteousness, you will not end up in credit, but with a debt so large, you can never pay it off. You'd be like the man who found credit card after credit card after credit card spiraling down into payday loans and flogging his stuff at a pawn shop. And now the debt is so large that paying it off is just a complete impossibility. Even if he could find someone to lend him the money, he'd never be able to pay them back. It's more than we could earn in a lifetime. Then a friend comes around one day and says, "Look, I hear you're in a bit of trouble. So I had a word with the bank, and look, don't worry about your debt. I covered it. In fact, I wanted to give you a little gift. You don't have to repay me. So I put some money in your account. In fact, I put quite a lot of money in your account. In fact, you're probably never going to have to work again. You'd be mad. You'd be totally mad not to take up the offer to say, no thanks. I think I'm just going to keep working and see if I can pay it off on my own. You'd accept the offer. You're no longer in debt. You're now incredibly wealthy. And now you have this wealth. Would you boast in it? No, absolutely not. By your own works, you were in impossible debt. Only because of a gift are you so rich now. Boasting is excluded. And even more so when we remember that all this language of crediting, well, it's an illustration. God isn't taking any financial burden and giving us money to set us up for life. The debt we're talking about is our sin, which deserves righteous wrath and fury from God. That's what we saw in chapters 1 to 3 of Romans. And the gift God gives us is righteousness. That means we are right with him. It's more than just a blank slate. It's the record that says that we did every good thing we should ever have done. How? How is this possible? In chapter 3, verse 25, in the section of text that comes right before this, what we're looking at today, Paul says, by faith in Jesus' blood. This is what the faith that we are talking about is in. Faith is always in something. The faith is in Jesus' death. Our sin is credited to Jesus, and his righteousness is credited to us. At the cross, Jesus suffers the righteous wrath and fury from God that we deserve. And we get to enjoy the blessing of God seeing us with Jesus' righteousness, as if we'd been as good as he had, for the whole of eternity. Now, are we really going to boast because we think we're better than someone else at church in some small way because of what we do? Because we think we can sacrifice more than someone else? No. Boasting is excluded. We cannot be justified by works, only by faith. God gifts us righteousness, and it cost him the life of his own son to do it. Justification is by faith, not by works. Boasting is excluded. Secondly, Paul defends this statement that boasting is excluded because justification is by faith for all. Paul explains that justification is by faith for all. Justification is by faith, not works, but isn't it just for some? Specifically, in verse 9, is this only just for the circumcised? That's the question the Jew in the church was asking. In our lives, we might ask, isn't this just for the top-tier Christians? Isn't this just for the church members, for the regular church members? We probably don't put it that blatantly. But can we ever think that we're a bit more worthy as Christians than others? Because, well, we've been regular members of our small group for years. Can we ever think we're better than others before God? Because we're members of Emmanuel, a Bible-teaching church. Paul blows this kind of thinking clean out of the water. And he does so by examining circumcision. Circumcision is the ultimate sign of spiritual identity for the Jewish believer in the church in Rome. Circumcision was the sign of being a member of the people of God in the Old Testament. And so the question arises, isn't justification by faith just for those who've been circumcised? Paul answers the question by going back to Abraham again. He looks at how Abraham was credited with righteousness. Look with me at verse 10. Under what circumstances was he credited with righteousness? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. Circumcision is a sign of something that has happened. It doesn't cause that thing to happen. Abraham was not circumcised when God justified him. And so you can't say that only those with the sign of circumcision can be justified. Abraham wasn't part of the family of God when God justified him. And so you can't say that only those who've been circumcised, who are part of the family of God, can be justified. You can't say that the circumcised are any more worthy members of God's family. No, in verse 11, Abraham is the father of all who believe. To say that only those who could be justified by faith, to say that only those who've been circumcised can be justified by faith, it's a bit like saying that only those who have one of these, this is a NHS wristband, pretty recognised, only if you've got one of these can you then be treated by the NHS. That's ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense. You get one of these after you've been admitted to the NHS. It's the sign of what you've been given by the NHS. It's not a prerequisite. The point of the NHS is that it's freely available to anyone who needs it. Justification is by faith for all. And this means that boasting on the basis of some kind of perceived identity or social superiority is completely excluded. It makes no sense at all to want to be seen in the sorted group. It's just wrong to want to be seen somewhere near the top of some hierarchy we've imagined. We're not better than others before God because of who we are. Justification by faith is for all. So let's ask ourselves, do the ways in which we think we're greater than others before God slip out sometimes in what we say, in what we choose not to say, in what we'd like to say? Do we boast in what we do, in our service, in our sacrifice? Do we boast in who we are? Do we want to project our image as strong, sorted, together Christians because we think our social standing in the church family is somehow relative? We want to be seen as greater than others because even in some small way, we think we are greater than others? Or do we think that we're less than others before God? As we compare ourselves to others in our church family, do we resent those that we think are boastful? They're not better than us. Do we effectively want to boast in what we do or who we are? Are we still waiting? Are we still waiting to feel like we can clear some spiritual bar, some Christian bar, before we could ever call ourselves Christians? If these people knew what I was really like, what I've really done, they'd know that I could never be a Christian. Hear Paul this morning. Boasting is excluded. One God justifies everyone by faith. It has always been this way. Even Abraham, with the greatest claims to boast in, was not justified by works, but by faith. Boasting is excluded. Even David, the greatest king of the Jews, had nothing to boast in. He was just glad that what he did wasn't credited to him. Boasting is excluded. Our sin, if we are following Jesus, has been credited to him. His righteousness has been credited to us as a gift. Boasting is excluded. No identity we find by comparing ourselves to others can do anything to justify us. Righteousness is given to those who have faith, not those who've reached some social status within the church. Boasting in who we are is excluded. As we close, have a look at chapter 3, verse 28. It says, we maintain that a man, literally a person, any person, we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Where then is boasting? It's excluded. Should we pray? Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are both just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus' blood. Thank you that you do not require us to work towards righteousness. If that were the case, we could never be right with you. We could never know you. We could never speak to you like this. We thank you that you do not require us to be in any particular group or to be any type of person. That you freely give righteousness to all who have faith in Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, when we boast, when we think we're greater than those around us. Lord, it seems slightly ridiculous, but we confess that our sinful, self-centered hearts are quick to boast in all sorts of things. Thank you that justification is not by works, but by faith. Father, help us to believe what you have spoken to us today by your word. Please help us not to boast. Lord, we pray this for the good of our brothers and our sisters in this church. We pray this for the good of the world that watches how we behave. And above all, we pray it for your great glory. Amen.
Thank you. Please sit. Great. Okay. Someone here says, thank you so much for brilliant examples about boasting at the start of the talk. Just for clarification, on chapter 4, verse 4, now when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. What does credited as an obligation mean?
That's a great question. I think... Yeah, well, it's earning wages. You go to work, you do your work. There's an obligation on your employer to pay your salary. That's what's being talked about there.
Great. Okay, you use the word justification a lot, and once you said being right with God. Can you say a little more about what these terms mean?
Yeah, thank you. Righteous righteous. That means to be made right with God, to be in right relationship. So you appear before your God and you're in right relationship. God sees you. He says, yeah, this guy, everything's right. That's what righteous. Justification is a word that means, I think Jim did this a couple of weeks ago, it's righteousify. In Greek, it's the same word. It's the verb of being made righteous.
And probably quite helpful to think not just slate clean, but all the credit of Jesus, you know, wearing his righteousness. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. My toddler comes to me, he's pushed over his sister. He needs forgiving, he needs making righteous somehow. Now, don't worry about how that happens, but righteous, if he's righteous, that is him coming to me, not having pushed over his sister, but having come and having given her a ready cuddle and, given him her some of his toys to play with. It's sort of like a positive thing, yeah. Thanks, Claire.
Great. These two questions are quite similar. Is there a case for feeling proud that we've put our faith in Jesus, so sort of we've seen the light, or... another way, do some people make the subtle mistake of placing their faith in their faith rather than faith in God?
That's good. Yeah. Boasting is hard for us to think about. I found it hard as I was thinking about my own life because we hide it so well. We don't live in a culture where we openly boast. So yeah, could we reach the point where we boast because I've decided to follow Jesus. My faith is in him. Yeah, absolutely.
Would that be a bad thing?
Yeah, that would be a bad thing. Because how is it that we're made righteous? How is it that we know God? Well, we didn't do anything towards it, so we've got nothing to boast about. Oh, I've decided to follow Jesus, therefore I'm right with him? No, no, no. It's not our choosing to follow him that makes us right with him. He makes us right. And faith is believing that the promise that we can be forgiven, be made righteous, is there for the taking. Taking hold of it doesn't mean we did anything towards it. There was a second after that.
It was sort of the same thing, yeah. I was thinking a bit about in Ephesians where it says faith, and even that is the gift from God. You know, even that very act of putting your faith in Jesus, nothing you've drummed up, not your great insight or intellect, but a gift from God. So we're just clinging on to Jesus, aren't we? Great. Finally, I can't help but feel proud sometimes about my service or my sacrifice. How can I change?
What a wonderful question. Paul here in these verses, he doesn't say, stop boasting, stop feeling proud. He gives us a reason. So when... I've been really helped these last few weeks as I've been thinking about this, because I am a proud man, and I slip into these ways of thinking all the time. The thing that helps is remembering why I can't boast. When I feel like boasting, I feel like, oh, I'm here earlier than everyone else to set up a church. And I catch myself. What I need to do is remember. Nath, how is it that you were made right with God? How is it that you can call God your father? Did you do anything towards it? Are you better than any of the people who aren't here? No, you're not. So I think the answer is fix our minds on what it is that Christ has done for us by his death. Fix our minds on the gift that we've been given. Think less about ourselves and think more about Jesus. And as we do that, we'll just find that, of course, we're not going to boast. It's the natural conclusion of knowing how it is that we were saved.